good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Marie and Ton taking your questions this morning, along with Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse. Let's take our next caller this morning. Let's go to Spencer in Orem. Good morning, Spencer.
Excuse me. I have two kind of different questions. I don't know if you have time for both, but one of them is related to my grass in my yard, and the second one's related to a cherry blossom tree. But a little background about my yard. I bought a home and moved back to Utah in about 2016, and when I did, I noticed it was in the wintertime, and when spring came, I noticed that there were some areas in my yard that were just dirt. And so I ended up putting some patches of sod into those dead, just dirt areas. And the next season, noticed that they're just kind of dead yellow rings around all where I put the sod, as well as some faster, thicker growing grass inside that sod that made it look uneven when it grew. And so I ended up trying to kill off some of that thicker, faster growing grass with like a Kills-All type plant killer, and obviously made new holes. And so I ended up raking out probably in about 2018 some of that, some thatch, and then kind of overseeding the entire yard and planting some seed in those holes. This year, I fertilized with a pre-emergent and aerated and everything, and noticed that my yard didn't really wake up very well. It still is very patchy with different types of grass, and some of it looks more green, some of it just is different types, and it's just kind of looking a little bit patchy and ugly. But most of it is now yellow. It does have some thin blades of green grass coming around the yellow. But if I were to, I guess I have two questions with my grass. If I were to remove the thatch again this year, I did cut it really short, trying to get some of that out. But if I were to get a power rake and remove some thatch, would it allow for some lateral growth of my grass? And then maybe this late summer, early fall, I would overseed again, trying to kind of even out and trying to make the grass more uniform, because right now it's very patchy and pretty ugly when it does grow.
Let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
One, how often are you fertilizing?
I did a late fertilizer last fall. I'm wondering if I was too conservative and didn't put enough down.
Well, that's...
I just do a spring, and then I'll try and do another kind of late spring, and then in the fall.
Okay, so three times a year, that's fine. And then are you east or west of State Street?
So my house faces east.
So, but where in Orem itself, are you on the east of State or west of State?
I am west of State Street. And
okay.
I'm very far north.
Okay, so you'd probably be in a little bit more clay soil. Have you cut your lawn open with a shovel, like put a shovel into it or a spade to see how much thatch you have?
So I cut my yard pretty low, and I can rake up a significant amount of thatch.
Well, you always can. And so the more important thing to do is to get a shovel out and actually stick it 6 inches into the ground and wiggle it back and forth and look at your thatch layer. And that'll be the brown layer between the soil and where the grass is green. And if that's more than a half inch thick, it could indicate maybe you just have a clay soil, and it can also indicate soil compaction to where aeration would actually help. So with
I feel like my backyard too is very it's very thin with the actual grass. There's a lot of dirt in between each kind of the grass. It's not thick and luscious. It's very kind of, like you said, maybe more clay and not allowing for the grass to really
grow. This is what I would actually do. Before you start spending a lot of money on power rakes and aeration and fertilizers, have some soil tests done and collect a couple of different samples, and you can mix them together and then send those off to either the Utah State University Analytical Lab or the BYU Analytical Lab. Just because you're in Orem, BYU would be a little faster because you're not waiting in the mail. And what I would have tested are the phosphorus and potassium levels, along with the pH and salinity.
Okay.
And so phosphorus, potassium, pH, and salinity. And that's where you're going to need to start. And then also get on their soil texture, and that will tell you if you have a clay or not. And if it comes back a clay texture, that will give you a starting point for some management strategies to help the lawn out. And I think that the $30 or so that you would spend on that testing is going to be worth the investment, because it will point you in a direction to start spending money so that you're not taking the shotgun approach.
Well, my other thought was, when do you throw in the towel, just kill it all off and try and reseed, you know?
You do your soil testing first, because if you throw in the towel and start over and have the same soil, within a year or two, you'll be back in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, do you send in samples of the front yard, back yard? It just doesn't really matter.
You can do them separately, but if this problem exists in both sections about equally, then I would just mix the two samples together. If the problems look different, then you might have two samples tested.
Okay. Thank you about that. Another question that I had is, I have a cherry blossom tree, and I noticed when I moved in that some of the bark looked like it wasn't doing very well. And over time, I just kind of hoped it would, you know, kind of resolve, which wasn't wise. But in last year, ended up removing some of the bark and noticed some of the dead bark, and noticed some flathead borer had gotten embedded in there. I'm still producing like 98% of the branches are still vital. They're, you know, blossoming and everything, but I did plant some garlic at the base of the tree because I was told that that could help deter some of the adult borer from laying eggs. But
that's an old wives' tale, honestly. There's no scientific evidence that backs that up.
What would you recommend? And I know that there's a specific time of year, and I may be kind of beyond that, but when could I treat the tree to try and, you know, help not allow for further damage?
Well, if you had flat-headed borer in there, the tree is stressed because those attack somewhat stressed trees. And so I would look at maybe getting this, if you have any grass around the tree, getting a good 2 or 3 foot wide ring around the trunk so you have bare soil. And then you actually, if the tree is valuable, it's mostly healthy, it may be worth doing a systemic soil drench with something like imidacloprid. And you would do that. And what kind of tree is it?
You know, I'm not sure, but
Does it flower?
It does flower a lot.
Okay, so you wait until the flowers drop, and then that's when you would do your imidacloprid treatment.
Okay.
All right, Spencer, thanks for your call this morning. We have with us Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse, sponsor of the program this morning. And Brian, I want to make sure before we let you go that people understand that you are the one that provides all of these wonderful container plants, bedding plants for Home Depot, Costco, and Walmart, and you're a family-owned local business.
We are, yes. I'm a fourth-generation family member. My last name is Lloyd, but I had to marry in to get into this wonderful business. But my great-grandfather-in-law started this company, Olson's Greenhouse, as Olson's Nursery back in the 40s, and we've been supplying bedding plants to Utah and the local climate for all those years, over 75 years now, Maria, and they're all grown right here in the mountain valleys of Utah.
And you try to do a lot on your website, and you have a podcast. I mean, you're doing all the stuff.
Yeah, you know, we don't have a traditional product. We have a hard time putting a brand on all of our plants. Most of them are just in generic black pots. And so what we try to do is just help gardeners out. That's our goal, is to get more people gardening, interesting in gardening. We talked about the health benefits of plants earlier, about all the new homeschoolers that we have now and people trying to get their kids into gardening now that they're home. And Olson's Greenhouse works really hard to make sure that those people that are at home gardening have success, but also learn the basic techniques of what it takes to be successful. And so we have our website with resources. There's a blog on there called The Color Commentator. And now that we don't have sports to pay attention to very much, why not go on to The Color Commentator and learn about gardening? And then our podcast is geared towards new homeowners. It's called Dig in the Yard. So you can find that on your favorite podcast player. Dig in the Yard, you'll get all sorts of tips on how to make your yard look beautiful.
You've given some really wonderful ideas for people who are looking for something new. You had a couple of plants you were telling us about today. I want to make sure you mention those again. just because I think they are so interesting, and I know that gardeners want the very latest.
Yeah, my wife and I got to go to Israel and find this unique flower. It's a petunia that has a heart shape in every petal. And it's been bred to do that, and it's absolutely amazing. We're going to launch it this Mother's Day. So coming up in about a week and a half, you'll be able to find this at a few Home Depots. We don't have very many. They're going to go fast. But there's a heart shape in every bloom, and we'll put it into a combination planter and call it Love That Grows. So no better gift for mom than a living flower that she can take care of and remind her of how much you love her.
And that's one that's going out to Home Depot, select Home Depot stores.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show today. We need to take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. We have more callers, more texts than we have time, Ton. I want to get to as many of these as I can before the show ends. We have several texters asking us about Bishop's Weed and the difficulty in killing Bishop's Weed, saying that Roundup's just not working. And one of the texters actually has it under some scrub oak, and they're wondering how to kill it without hurting the scrub oak.
Well, as long as you don't spray the trunks of the oak trees, you might have to wrap them with some cardboard or something just to be sure. If you're going to spray right now, I would avoid a lawn weed killer just because those can be soil active for a few weeks, but I would get a spreader sticker with the Roundup and mix them both together or surfactant, and you will have to spray several times. The actual best time to spray is going to be in the fall, but it's going to be popping up right now, and to try to get some control through the summer, use that spreader sticker with the glyphosate product, and that should help a bit. You know, but it's going to be a year or two process to get rid of it, because it can be harder to get rid of than bindweed.
Right. Is there a better plant than Bishop's Weed to plant under, like, oak trees?
Vinca minor there's a couple species of vinca, and the vinca minor, or lesser periwinkle, is the same plant, is one that does really well, that stays a little bit better behaved. You could maybe try, I always remember the Latin name, Ceratostigma. Those blue flowers on it. Ceratostigma plumbago. Plumbagoides. Yeah, plumbago is another one you could try under there that's shade tolerant too.
All right, let's go to Tracy. Good morning, Tracy. Hi, Tracy. What is your question?
Yes, we were going to plant some flower boxes with some tomatoes, but I was wondering if we could put alyssum underneath it for just a little color. My husband's afraid it would take nutrients away from the tomatoes.
Well, they will take nutrients out of the soil, but as long as you're regularly fertilizing with something like Osmocote or Miracle-Gro or a similar product, you should be fine. Brian, if you're there, do you have any input on that?
Yeah, I think you're just fine as long as your nutrient levels are healthy. It's not like they're hogging all the nutrients. There are some plants that will do that, especially a lot of weeds, but not alyssum. So I would plant away.
He's also wondering about grass under trees. If that takes away nutrients, if we should cut away the grass, or if it's okay to leave grass under trees.
Well, if the trees are in the lawn, you should at least have a 3 or 4 foot ring around a fairly mature tree with bare soil. the grass does compete with the tree, but it's not like it's going to kill the tree. But in orchard situations, if you plant your orchard on bare ground, you can double the tree's growth rate with fertilization as compared to the same fertilizations that orchard planted in a lawn.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's take a call from Cindy in Provo. Good morning, Cindy.
A little bit more about the merchandising work opportunities. Could you say more about that?
Oh, Brian, this is a question for you. You said you were hiring employees.
So we're lucky that we get to work outside with flowers all day long at ProGrow Partners. It's a sister company to Olson's Greenhouse. We work at Walmarts and Home Depots, and we would love to have you apply. Just go to our website, progrowpartners.com. It's P-R-O-G-R-O partners.com. Or if you inquire at any of those stores, you could probably find your way to our phone number. Our phone number, just in case, it's not too hard to remember, but it's 844-4-PROGRO, P-R-O-G-R-O, 844-4-PROGRO.
Okay, thank you very much.
Brian, go ahead and tell us what kinds of people you're looking for right now.
Anybody willing to work, which I think is a lot of us right now, isn't it? More plant experience is helpful, and we would love people with plant experience, but as long as you're willing to work outdoors with flowers, we put flowers away, we water, we help take care of tending them. It's a great job working out in that retail environment. So basically anybody, young to old, we're looking for you.
And for those people who are going to be out there looking for those new plants that you've been telling us about for their containers, where can they find all of the different plants that you grow here in Utah?
So we ship a huge variety of plants to Home Depot, Walmarts, and Costco this time of year. So you can find our plants at any of those places. It doesn't necessarily have our name on it, but if you go into your local Home Depot or Walmart, you can be sure if it's a bedding plant, it's from us. We're the sole supplier to all the stores across the Wasatch Front and in other states as well.
Okay, let's take our next caller. This is Chris in Cottonwood Heights. Good morning, Chris.
I wanted to ask about a garden area that I have. It's about 25 feet by 3 feet, and I've planted vegetables there for several years. For the last few years, it does not seem to be doing very well. And I was wondering if it would help if I left it dormant for a year and didn't plant anything. And if I did do that, I just want to get your recommendation if that's the best thing. And then what should I do to replenish that soil? If I could get your recommendation. And I also wanted to know if there was a good product for a necrotic ring. We have that in our grass.
We may not have time to completely hit the necrotic ring spot.
Okay.
But about now is an ideal time to put a fungicide down within the next couple of weeks, something like F-stop, or there's others. But download Utah State University's fact sheet on necrotic ring spot, and that'll detail what you need to know. As far as the soil, I would let it rest and maybe put 3 inches of compost in this spring, mix it in. You could grow something in there if you wanted to just plant some marigolds or something, you know, different, and just give that soil a break for a year. And next year, I'll bet you it performs just fine.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the KSL Greenhouse. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, really quick, hit our KSL Greenhouse website. Cherry Hill Farms is doing an orchard tour in a week or so. If you want more or information, it's a huge orchard, unique opportunity.
All right. Check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page for more on that. And that's it for us, and we'll hopefully you'll join us next Saturday, and we'll get to more of your questions and calls. And have a great Saturday.